But you may have a problem. You may be at a crossroads. You may not know which way to turn or what to do with your life. You'll let God tonight, He'll talk to you, I'm sure. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad the Lord spoke to mine. I'm glad I obeyed the call of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now then tonight, I have felt after God today in all sincerity, and I have been impressed rather distinctly for this service tonight. In fact, I've carried this burden now for over a week, unbeknownst to anybody but me and God. And I thought, Lord, which night is it? Night after night, I've summoned myself to the portal. And God said, not tonight, but this afternoon. He said, tonight. I don't know why. The sermon isn't anything that extraordinary, but somehow or another, God has chosen these words to speak to our hearts tonight. I want God to speak to me. Do you want the Lord to speak to you? Raise your hands with me again and praise Him. Hallelujah. I have on my hands tonight a rather weighty subject. I'm going to limit myself by the grace of God, help of the Lord, Shekinah, to the minutes I've got in my mind. Unless the Holy Ghost moves in. Of course, the Holy Ghost moves in, I'm moving out. And maybe up. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn with me for a reading tonight. Go to 1 Kings chapter 20. While you're turning to that, I will make mention that we will be preaching principally from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as far as the Lord leads, we may just zip right on through. Who knows? But we're going to go as far as the Lord leads. And the main thing is, I want God to talk to my heart tonight. This is not just another sermon. I want to hear the voice of God. In chapter 20 of 1 Kings, we have a story. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together. And there were 32 kings with him and horses and chariots. He went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. Sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine. Thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. The king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. The messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sinned unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me, thy silver and thy gold, and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. All the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And they departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. It came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. My text tonight, verse 11, chapter 20 of 1 Kings. The answer of Ahab to Ben-Hadad when he was challenged. And the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. God help me. I'm going to preach on harness today, boasting tomorrow. Pray for us, Brother Green.
Lord Jesus, thank you again for the privilege to love.
Whether or not you want to face the unpleasantness of it, we are in a battle tonight. It is a wrestling and a struggle, and only one's going to be the winner. We are in a warfare tonight. The devil has summoned his ultimatum to the church of the living God, much like Ben-Hadad did to Ahab. And I thank God for all the people and all the elders that will stand with their leaders and say, don't hearken to what the world and the devil has to say. We're behind you. We're going to stand for you and believe in the Word of God. So tonight, the devil would like to plunder the house of the living God. He would like to bankrupt the unsearchable riches of your soul. He would like to pollute the sterling character of your Christianity. The devil tonight would like to instill poison in your veins and wickedness in your soul and bitterness in your heart. The devil tonight would like to plunder the treasures of the church of the living God. And he would like for us to give way to him without a battle and without a fight. And let him come right in the church and take over and do as he pleases and be as he pleases. But I thank God for people that will say, as long as there's an ounce of blood in these things, we're going to stand up for what's right. We're going to preach what's right. We're going to exalt the banner that is right. And we're going to stand for the truth of the living God. Too many people give up without a fight today. The devil scares them. Some people are so flighty, all he has to do is stop his foot a little heavy, and they're on the run. I don't believe the church of the living God needs to retreat. I don't believe it needs to back up. I don't believe it needs to do anything but to resist the devil. And the Bible said he will flee from you. One of the grandest sights you'll ever look at is when you've resisted the devil in the name of Jesus Christ and he's on his way out down the road. Oh, thank God when we can put the devil on the run. We must gather together our resources and our capabilities and our talents and all that we can muster, and we must harness them, organize them with the unction of the Spirit, aiding and succoring of the Holy Ghost to meet the devil. May I tell you, there's not a one of us sitting or standing here tonight that can whip the devil within ourselves. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4, verse 6. We must be harnessed. And when Ahab flung this challenge right back in the teeth of Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, who had 32 other kings with him, who had the host of the armies of Syria, who outnumbered Ahab and his army many, many times over, yet he looked him in the eye, knowing that he had the support of his people, and said, oh my, thank God for what he said. Let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. So we must harness ourselves to God tonight. We must harness ourselves with the help of the Spirit tonight. Let me tell you something. Even the sun and the moon and the stars are organized and efficient and are in the will of God. Hallelujah! Bible teaches me that we must submit our talents and our ability to the mind of the Spirit. We cannot go off and do each one our individual thing. And we cannot go off amen, and live to ourselves. We must stand together, fight together, shoulder to shoulder, or work on our hands separately. Harness today, boasting tomorrow. I'm asking you tonight, what are you doing about it? The Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Amen. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. We don't need the machinery of man's ingenuity. We don't need man's finite understanding. We can whip the devil with the Word of God and the Holy Ghost and prayer and fasting. Hallelujah! The Bible tells me in Ephesians 6, verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Hallelujah! 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 I said, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice the inclusiveness. All the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I trust tonight we will not wield the club of a clumsy oak, but rather the sharp knife of a skilled surgeon tonight. I trust tonight that we will let God use His Word to better us and equip us and anoint us to fight the devil. Every time Jesus rebuked him, He rebuked him by, it is written, it is written, it is written. My God, we can camp on the Word of God. We can drive our stakes down into it. We can put a homestead claim upon it. You can stand on it. It's like the rock of Gibraltar. It'll stand forever. Harness today, boasting tomorrow. Are you in the harness? Are you in the harness? Are you equipped to fight the devil? My, my. Two or three hallelujahs and a praise the Lord ain't going to get the job done. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to be grounded, established, and built up in the Word of the Lord. We are in a battle tonight. Do you want the devil to plunder your soul? Do you want him to take the sweet nectar of the Holy Ghost blessing out of your life? Do you want the devil to rob you of your spirituality? Do you want him to come like a thief in the night and carry away all the blessings God has given you? Are you going to fight for what you felt here tonight? Are you going to take a stand for the Holy Word of God? Or are we going to roll over and play dead? I say it's time that we stood up against the devil and took a stand. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul told his son in the gospel, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We today term our strength in numbers. We term it in financial muscle. We term it in terms of materialism, buildings, and accumulations of worldly assets. But my friend, you may own cattle on 1,000 hills, but if you're not rich in the grace of Jesus Christ, you can't whip one devil. You can't bring victory one time. How strong are we in the grace of God? Oh, God, give us grace. Grace to fight. Grace to stand. Grace to sing. Grace to preach. Grace to shout. Grace to testify. Enable and God anoint this church with the grace of the living God. Hallelujah! How concerned are you about the strength of your grace? We were concerned about the spirituality of our church sometimes. As we are concerned about the material aspect of it, we'd be a whole sight better off. Praise the Lord! We are locked in a battle tonight. A death struggle, if you please. My God, I don't want to lose this battle. I want to come out the winner, and I can win. I can win if I will become strong in the grace of God. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The prime prerequisite and the fundamental, rudimental requirement for service in the army of the Lord God, in the church of the living God, is not intellect, it's not finance, it's not background environment, it's faithfulness. If God can't depend on you to be at your post of duty, if God can't depend on you to keep the fires of enthusiasm lit on the altars of your heart, if God can't depend on you in the prayer room and in the altar service, just how do you think you're going to whip the devil anyhow? Paul said, you give it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I have seen it time and time again where men with little or no natural ability, but they were faithful. They were there, dependable. You could see them coming. Every time they could, they were there to do anything they could for the cause of Christ. I've seen others that had all kinds of natural ability, all kinds of understanding, and yet through the simple fact they didn't want to be faithful. They didn't want to stand the test. Through all the varied ways they had to stand it, God couldn't use them. I repeat, the prime prerequisite is faithfulness. You can't fight a warfare with an army that's sleeping. You can't fight a warfare with an army that's on vacation. You can't fight a warfare with an army that's always on R&R. You can't fight a warfare with an army that's hiding under the bunk. You can't fight a warfare with an army that's involved with its own personal interests only. Oh, hallelujah! Give us faithful men, faithful women, faithful Sunday school teachers, faithful Sunday school superintendents, faithful trustees, faithful elders, faithful deacons, faithful piano players, faithful organ players, faithful orchestra players, faithful, 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 dependable. Oh, hallelujah! Where would Ahab have been if he said, yeah, I'm going to fight, and he turned around and everybody said, I'm going on vacation, we'll fight this battle next year? I've been in church after church, and I feel like I'm halfway able to make this statement. I've known place after place. They think they can fit God and His revival into their itinerary. Let me tell you, you can't do it. You've got to have revival when God says to have revival. And when the Spirit of God moves, we better move with it. Here we see, oh God, faithfulness is the number one thing. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm here tonight not to paint a pretty picture that Christianity and living for God is all mountaintop ecstasy, that it's all simply sweet-smelling savors of blessings. I'm here to tell you, friend, there's dark, deep, dank valleys of despair to plunge your way through. There's nights of loneliness. There's nights when the flood tides of oppression want to rip your soul in pieces. Let me tell you, I believe this with all my heart. There's not but one way to make it, and that is endure it. Oh, there's been many a trial you'll have to endure, and I've endured. When I didn't hear any angelic choirs, I did not hear the seraphims with their flaming sonnets of glory. I just gritted my teeth, stiffened my backbone, and endured. Endured! And Christian friend, if you want to make the rapture, get you a heap of endurance. If you want to see Jesus, get you a heap of endurance. Can you live for God in the heat of the day, in the cold of the night, when mother won't go, father won't go, wife won't go, son won't go, friend won't go, nobody wants to go, but you got to go pray, you got to go fast, you got to go preach, you got to go word for the Lord. Oh, God, help us to endure hardness. My God, you just well get ready, because I'm going to load my soul that takes me all night to do it. God, give me this, and I'm going to give it to you. We are in a battle tonight. Now, some of you in this revival, people. You've acted like you've come to a tea party. You've acted like you've come to some sideshow. You've come to this revival like you would visit a coliseum or a fairground to daintily pick your way through the smorgasbord of spirituality. You like this and don't like that. I'm telling you something. We're locked in a battle tonight, and the devil's going to whip us unless we wake up and stand together and fight him. Fight him. This church is not here tonight because of a bunch of willy-nilly, spineless, backboneless men or women that refuse to stand up for God. This church is a monument to the dedication and perseverance of people that wouldn't take no for an answer, that weren't scared easily, but looked the devil in the eye and said, I'm taking my stand for Jesus, and I'm going to stake a claim for the Lord. That's the only way she's going to make it through. And everybody said, amen. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Oh, sometimes I feel guilty, but then I come back to the Word of God and it stares me in the face. God requires first place, friend. Above family and friends, above your feelings, God must be first of all. First of all. And if you're so involved and entangled, and in steeped and in stooped in the affairs of this life, so you're running from sun up to sundown trying to do your way through this world, you're just too busy. I know this is hard, but if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to read your Bible, you're too busy. If you're too busy to take time out to witness, you're too busy. If you're so involved in the affairs of this life and gathering things for yourself, you can't please him who has chosen you to be a soldier. No! Not everybody that's called is chosen, friend. God gives us all equal opportunity. It's up to us to strip ourselves of some of these unnecessary involvements. It's up to us to take some of these brands out of the fire. It's up to us to see that we are detached from some of these mundane affairs that are of no consequence, and free up some time for prayer and going to church and reading our Bible and staying at the altar and working with the seekers. My God, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You may never invite me back again, but I'm going to tell you the God in heaven's truth. If you're too busy to pray with the seekers, you're too busy. You say, well, it's 9:15, 9:30. All right, then quit shouting and praising the Lord for old time Pentecost. Some of you will get up and say, well, it used to be they prayed all night and went home and went on to work, and you can't even stay to 10 o'clock. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let me tell you something. I want to please God. Do you want to please God? Well, you don't always please your wife. You don't always please your husband. You don't always please your children when you please God. But, oh, God, I want to please you. I want to please you. Hallelujah. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. My God, there's a way to do this. God's got the plan. He's got the program. He's got the battle operation. And we've got to do these things his way. We've got to strive lawfully. Amen. No man that warreth entangleth. And if a man strive for the mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Strive lawfully. God's got his way. We've got to do it his way. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. I haven't got a right to stand up here and tell you, you need to pray every day, and I don't pray every day. I haven't got a right to tell you to pay your tithe, come to church regularly, knock on doors, or witness to strangers about Jesus if I won't do that. You haven't got a right to sound off at any meeting, at any time, about other people's failures and faults if you're not first partaker of the fruit. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Wherein I get the key to the city everywhere I go in the glad hand, and everybody rolls out the red carpet of welcome. Is that what Paul said? No. He said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. But you want me to tell you something? Paul said, but the Word of God's not bound. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I thank God I've got a Word tonight that's not bound. Not bound by men's opinions. Not bound by men's doctrines. Not bound by men's ideas. Not bound by men's beliefs. The Word of God is not bound. Not bound. Even in the sense some people will try to bind a service, or bind a revival, or bind a preacher, or set on a song, or set on someone that's trying to bring the power of God down and the blessing of the Lord. Brother, there's one thing you can't bind or choke up. It's the Word of God. It's not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. My God, I say it's not time to deny the Lord. I say it's time to stand up for the Lord. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Oh, thank God, thank God. You that are seeking the Holy Ghost, I got good news for you. No preacher, I, or anybody else could stand up here and tell you the Holy Ghost is not for you today. It ceased with the early church. But God cannot deny Himself. He has declared it. And He cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18, Titus 1:2. God cannot lie. He cannot deny Himself. So no matter who you are, how poor, how insignificant, how uneducated, how trivial, how minute, how you are, my friend, if you believe God, He has declared it. It is settled. He can't deny Himself. He's got to deliver the goods. When you produce the faith, He's got to do what He said He would do. He cannot deny Himself. Hallelujah. I thank God for that every day I live. Now, these things put them in remembrance. That's what I'm doing. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I'm not imposing this upon you as a requirement from the Lord, but I do believe God would be pleased with it. And that is every one of us that has had the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name for at least a period of 2 years or more. And we cannot take the Bible and sit down with a sincere, honest-hearted individual and prove to them there's one God, Jesus' name baptism speaking for the remission of sins, and the Holy Ghost with the evidence with other tongues. And we can't prove Jesus is coming again. Amen. And a literal heaven and a literal hell. Tithing, foot washing, and communion. Some of these basic requirements, then we have been doing too much idle time in our own selfish pleasures. We need to do some more studying and some more preparing and seeking after the mind of God. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Someone said, well, Mama told me something, or Daddy said so and so. That's wonderful. Mom and Dad have a lot of wisdom, even if they're not in the church. But if what they tell you is opposite to what the Word of God said, you better take the Word of God every time. Shun profane and vain babblings. There's a lot of old wise sayings and a lot of old time sayings that are just that, sayings. There's no truth to a lot of them. Some of them there are. But my friend, the Bible is all truth and no error, and you can build on it for eternity. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! They will increase unto more ungodliness. The word will eat up the canker. It's another phrase for cancer. People sometimes become so bitter, the words we eat on others like a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some? The Jehovah Witnesses, which are not very many years old, their doctrine's not new. Hymenaeus and Philetus preached that hundreds of years ago. They said the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Jehovah's Witnesses said Jesus came back in 1914. What if he did come back in 1914? It's a bunch of us didn't make the rapture. And I know he hasn't come because the church is still in the world today. And the Bible tells me, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Philippians 3:20 said, we're looking for Jesus Christ from heaven who shall change our vile body. And I still got a vile body. You still got a vile body. He has not come. Hymenaeus and Philetus said, the resurrection's over. So he just won't give up. And they overthrew the faith of some. The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Aren't you glad he knows you tonight? He knows your name. Every hair on your head's numbered. He knows the steps you take. He knows where you go, where you live, your address, your children, your social security number. He knows your job. He knows what kind of car you drive, what you had for supper, where you went today, what you read, what you did, everything, every place, everywhere. He knows it. Oh, thank God, I'm glad for that. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I say it's time for Christians to quit messing around with iniquity. If we're going to whip the devil, we better purify ourselves, consecrate ourselves, sanctify ourselves, dedicate ourselves. We better set apart ourselves for the battle. You can't come in and have revival fresh from the job, and you can't go to the prayer room, or you haven't prayed any during the day at all, and you come to the service with your mind on your work, or your mind on your home, or your mind on your problems, or your mind on next week or tomorrow. We've got to come, my friends, reserve some time for the Lord if we're going to have revival. And in a great house, not only the vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. You got your choice tonight. Those of you that are sitting here, all of us, have the capability of being a vessel of honor. Have the capability of being a jewel for the Lord. Have the capability of being a David and slaying a Goliath. Or a Joshua storming the walls of Jericho. Or a Moses leading through a Red Sea. Or a Daniel in a lion's den. Or a Shadrach, a Meshach, or Abednego in a fiery furnace. Or a Jeremiah in a well. Oh my God. We have people here tonight with the potentiality and the capability of doing great things for God. But it's up to you. What do you want the potter to make out of your life? Oh, God, work on me, Lord. Make me what I ought to be so I can go out and fight the good fight of faith. Let's raise our hands and pray. Come on. Praise the Lord. The man therefore purge himself from these. Purge himself! We come to church. We want the preacher to do our praying, the song leader to do our singing, and the orchestra to do our worship. We come to church. We want others to do the consecrating for us. I said the other night, there's some things you cannot borrow, and one of them is your consecration. You've got to purge yourself! The man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Oh, I want God to use me. 20 years ago, I said, Lord, by your grace, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll preach when I'm hungry, and I'll preach when I'm full. I'll preach when I got money. I'll preach when I don't have money. I'll preach as well and forcibly to a small crowd as I will to a big crowd. I'll go to little churches. I'll go to big churches. I'll go where I'm invited. I'll try my best to deliver the goods. I'll give them something from you, Lord. I'll pray. I'll consecrate. I'll dedicate. I want you to use me, Lord. I don't want to spend my life in useless fighting. I don't want to spend my life in revelry or chasing some social butterfly or merry-go-round. I don't want to be involved in this world. I want to serve God. I want to whip the devil. I want to work for the Lord. Hallelujah. God help us. You want to be a vessel in the honor tonight? Raise your hand and wave it. Sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. We also youthful us. I believe I can stand here and talk tonight. I have teenage daughters. And I'll preach to them as well as to you. There's a lot of you here tonight need to flee the lusts of youth. Youth, of course, is a time of frivolity, of flightiness. Youth is a time of fidgetiness. Youth is a time when they don't want to listen, but they know all the answers. We're not telling you to flee your youth, which is also a time of vim and vigor and vitality and strength and keenness of mind and willingness to do things. We're saying for you to flee the lust of youth. Flee also youthful lust. And same as it may be, there are people that are 50 and 60 and 70 years old that still need to flee youthful lust, that have never grown up and never accepted the responsibility of being a mature Christian. Oh, God, if you want to be on the front lines, if you want to be in the trenches, if you want to man the battlements of the church, the armaments of warfare, if you want to whip the devil, then you've got to consecrate yourself. Flee also youthful lust. Harness today. It's time to put your shoulder to the wheel. It's time to get under the load. It's time to strain under the burden. It's time to feel the travailing pain of hours of prayer. It's time to hit the prayer room. It's time to fast and seek God. It's time that we accept the death if we're going to have revival. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. The foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. If you have questions tonight, don't make them foolish and unlearned. You can't come to me and tell me things that are foolish and unlearned. The Bible said, ignore them kind of questions. As far as I'm concerned, someone says, well, I don't think you should go to church. You receive the Holy Ghost, you don't need to go to church. That's a foolish and an unlearned question, because the Bible said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's a foolish question. Someone says, well, I don't think you should pay your tithe. There's a lot of people down there that may pay their tithe. You don't have to pay your tithe. Jesus said, these ought ye have done, and not leave the other undone. That's a foolish question. I don't think you should have to pray so much. The Bible said, pray without ceasing. That's a foolish question. I don't think you should have to consecrate and dedicate. The Bible said, come out from among them and be yourself, saith the Lord. That's not the unclean thing. Hallelujah. That's a foolish question. Whatever the Bible speaks, we should obey it implicitly, without reservation. We should obey it. You know what I think, folks? Let me tell you what I think. I think when the Lord says jump, we ought to all say how high on the way up. Hallelujah! I say it's time we put the whole loose and fancy free. You have a beautiful church, wonderful spirit that comes down, but you've just come and drink it up. Drink it up. Oh, it's time that you gave some to. It's time you shared the responsibility of the prayer days and the fast days. It's time that you've done your part. Praise the Lord! And knowing that they do gender strives, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. There's a lot of people that's hard to be gentle around, but the Bible said, be gentle unto all men. You come across some rough, uncouth, unsavory character, the wild, woolly as a March hare. It's kind of hard not to answer railing with railing and throw back in their teeth the hard words they throw at you. But the Bible said, be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient.
How many raise a hand and say, God, I need more patience? I'll raise mine. How many like to have more patience? Raise your hand and wave. But God don't unzip your skull and pour patience in. The Bible said tribulation worketh patience. So maybe God's trying to teach us something. If we're in a trial tonight, that we need to be patient. Jesus said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. There's some of you here tonight are not only against the church of the living God, you're even against yourself. You're not only against anything progressive for the church of the living God, you're so confused, you're against yourself. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his own will. You know what this simply means? Kind of like an old time cowboy went out of a morning into the corral. And he was going to do a certain kind of work that day, so he wanted a certain kind of horse, and so he got the one he wanted. He lassoed the particular one and cut out all the others. And the devil says today, I need a good lie told on that church. Let me see. Oh, yes. Dear so-and-so, she loves the gossip. So he goes in the corral and puts the noose around your neck, and you go out telling everything he wants you to tell. Well, I need somebody to stand up and rebel openly against the church and the Word of God. Oh, yes, so-and-so over there. I'll go use them. I'd hate to think I was a robot or a puppet, that I could be manipulated at the devil's will and discretion. I'd hate to think whenever the devil wanted to use my flesh and my weaknesses and my understanding that I had so little of consecration that he could come by my house and knock on my door and say, you're going to work for me today, not the Lord. There's some of you here tonight that haven't got enough victory to say no to the devil one time. There's some of you here tonight haven't got enough victory tonight. You roll over and play dead when he comes around. He speaks and you jump because he's got your number. You haven't got enough victory to defeat him. We want to help you tonight. The Bible said to recover them out of the snare of the devil. Let me tell you something. You can recover yourself. Remember when you used to have victory. Remember when you used to rebuke the devil. Remember when you used to slam the door in his face and he went off. You can do it again. You can do it again. But you got to harness yourself. You've got to come to Jesus. Can you all say amen? Just know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Used to be it was a woman that did all the primping, texting, looking good. Now then we have a lot of dandy dons. Yes! We've got people that think it's all in a fashion plate and parade. And they love themselves so much, they wouldn't think of putting themselves out an extra hour for the cause of Christ. Don't fall in love with yourself. You're just a mud ball. Don't do it! What happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he walked out and said, isn't this Babylon that I built? They didn't have a place like they got the old Nebuchadnezzar got here. What happened to him? He fell. Let me tell you something. Whatever you have and God's blessed you with, you ought to thank God for it. And say like the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Caveat us. Boast us! Proud! Some people so proud, hold their head so high, they're draining the ground. They actually think they're better than someone else. There may be social strata in the church. There may be, one fellow calls it cliques, another calls it cliques. I just call them cliques myself in the church. There may be this group, then that group, and then that group, and number one group thinks they're better than number two, and number two thinks they're better than one, and number three thinks they're better than number one and number two together. But God's not pleased with this. Every last one of us, we're nothing with the Lord got a hold of our hearts. I don't care if you've got $1 million in the bank. You're not a bit better off than that pauper sitting in the same pew that's got the same Holy Ghost and believing the same gospel. You pardon me, but I think God is sick to his stomach at this apathy of upper class and the so-called elite of Pentecost and those that think they are the upper echelon and us peons and high polloi and common cowhoppers down here. Let me tell you, there's not a one of us better than the other tonight. We're all brothers, we're all sisters, and we're all in the church together. If this church fails, it's a reflection on you too, not just the preacher. If this church doesn't do what God wants it to do, it's a reflection on your prayer life too. Oh God, hallelujah! Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And good pastors already touched on that in the natural. And I say amen to it. Your pastor corrects your children at church. Don't take up for them at home. You got anything to say? Be man enough to go tell him to his face, not his back. But there's a spiritual application. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I pastored a man one time that rose up when all the brothers were present at a particular meeting and said, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a shepherd. I can worship God at home by the radio. That's exactly what he said. I don't need to go to church. Others were looking. I quoted him this verse 17, chapter 13 of Hebrews. For they watch for your souls. You need a shepherd that's not afraid to sound the trumpet of alarm when you become lukewarm or when you become too worldly-minded. You need a shepherd that will watch for your soul unflinchingly and without reservation or fear or favor. Disobedient to parents. Obey your pastor. Obey! Do what you're asked to do. If you don't agree with it, that's still all right. Do it. Cooperate. That's the name of the game. I'm thankful. I'd have to raise my hand. There's been times in my life I wasn't as thankful as I should have been. You'll have to raise your hand too. Oh God, baptize us with the spirit of thankfulness tonight. Oh God. No, we haven't had the revival I wanted us to see, and I'm sure you haven't had the one you wanted to have either. No, we may not have accomplished all that we want to accomplish yet with this life in the larger view, but we're still on this side, Jordan. Jesus hadn't come yet. And then of that, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. We may look like we're never going to get there, But once we get it all together, watch out, Kevin, watch out. We're still in the battle, and it's not over with yet. And I don't intend to give up without a fight. Where's your fight? I dare say some of you don't have a bit of fight in you. Where's your fight? God, where's your stamina? Where's your courage? Oh, God, I rally you tonight to the cause of Christ. It's time to fight. Hallelujah. The devil is mocking us, mimicking us, and wants to plunder our precious Pentecostal commodities. He wants to strip us of our spiritual virtues. He wants to lead us away captive. He wants to come in and go as he pleases. This is the church of the living God, and we've got a right to rebuke the devil out of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord!
Unholy, without natural affection. I know people, when they receive the Holy Ghost, they never go see mama or daddy again. They're not in the church. They chew tobacco, smoke cigarettes, and watch TV, and I'm not going to go work. I'm not going to go visit them. Now, I don't care how mean or bad your mama and daddy is. The Bible said, honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mightest live long in the face of the earth. It's one of our problems. We've cloistered ourselves, closeted ourselves, segregated ourselves, fixed ourselves, painted ourselves in a corner. We've cut off our contacts. Jesus ain't Republicans and hearts. He rubbed elbows with the scum of Jerusalem. He wasn't afraid to sit down at a feast time with an old ungodly tax collector. Oh, God, baptize us with some affection for the souls of the lost. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to you my heart tonight. I'm unloading it. God told me to preach this, and here it is. Truth breakers. Oh, we throw rocks at the Koreans and the armistice that the communists broke, and we say Russia makes treaties that never keep and not worth the paper they wrote on. But remember that treaty you made with God, and you suddenly realize one day he had you outnumbered, outfought. He had more strength than you had. And you finally come to the smart realization that God was going to be the winner and you was going to be the loser if you didn't get in. And you made a truce with the Lord. He said, I'll cover you with my blood, baptize you in my name, and fill you with my spirit. But in reciprocity and in like terms, I want you to be my child. I want you to walk for me, talk for me, live for me, dress for me, and be a Christian in this wicked and ungodly world.
Remember that truth. Some of you have ripped it up.
You broke it. You're doing your own thing. God, help us. Help us to come back home to Jesus.
False accusers!
By the time you might point a finger at someone, there's at least three pointing back to you.
You may like to put somebody down. I say, don't believe any garbage on anybody. Just prove them.
Then pray for them.
Don't accuse anybody of anything unless you can back it up with the goods.
Then pray for him. Had a fellow one time come to my office and said, song leader's running around. I know he has a sword the other day. I said, you did? He said, sit right here. I'm going to go get him. And I want you to confront him.
No, no, no!
I said, well, why not? Well, it may just have been a coincidence. Okay, I said, write your accusation out on a piece of paper and sign your name to it. And I will take it and present it to him. No. You see what it was? He was jealous. Someone had his job and could do better than he. And the only way he could get back was to throw some mud at him. Remember, he who slings mud loses ground.
I think we ought to be careful who we accuse and what we accuse them of. Words hastily spoken cannot be called back so quickly. And I've said a lot of things I wished I had never said. And I've learned, my God, I've learned not to say so much.
Don't let your tongue cut your head off. I'm not mad, believe you. I'm not mad. My wife gets on me. You look like you're mad. Well, this preacher will tell you, the Spirit of God will get on you. And He's talking to you like this. God don't always give us a shout. He wants us to sit down, and He wants to reason with us and tell us. Now, brethren, we're in a battle, and we're not going to whip the devil falsely accusing one another all the time. Incontinent. That's a 50-cent word meaning no self-restraint over the carnal desires of the flesh. And that's a pretty phrase for another way of saying something. In other words, do anything you're big enough to do, anytime, anywhere, and fully on the mores or customs of society, and fully on the commandments of the Lord that should keep us pure. You can just go on and do your thing. But let me tell you, judgment day is coming.
Fierce! Despisers of those that are God! Traitors! I don't believe the church has any room for Benedict Arnold and Judas Iscariot. My God, I don't want to be a traitor to this precious gospel. I want to stand in the heat of day, even when the enemy has me outnumbered and almost overwhelmed. My God, we got to stake a so-called spiritual animal. My God, I want to stand.
Hallelujah. Heady. You know, some people, they know everything.
In fact, if they don't know it, it's not worth knowing.
I've had them pound their fist on my desk and say, I'm old enough to be your dad. And I said, so what? That don't tell me nothing, but you're just old, you know.
Bless God, I've forgotten more than you'll ever know.
I wouldn't go around telling it because I don't know nothing, and that makes you. Well, I'll not say. Isn't it something? If they'd have been here tonight, they'd have got it. Watch out. They're here and they're getting it. Ezra?
Oh, I know everything. Ain't no preacher can teach me anything. I think every one of us can learn some more. Can you say amen?
High-minded. Oh, high-minded. High-minded. My. Some people are so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. Some people are just like angels, up in the air and huffing all the time. And some of you women are like angels. You haven't got an earthly thing to wear.
Right. High-minded. Whatever place God puts you to work, work!
Do your all for the Lord in the name of Jesus. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I love the fish. I love the horseback ride, believe it or not. Oh, hallelujah. I'm still a little sore. I love to hunt every now and then. Of course, I guess I love a good book rather than any of it, but I love a relaxation, and there's nothing harmful with it.
But when you become a lover of pleasure more than you're a lover of God, you've got an insidious disease raging in your spiritual body that is going to terminate your spirituality one of these days.
Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know what God says? Hold on now.
God says, don't you go to a church that has all form and no power. Don't you be a member of a church that has a form of godliness and denies the power from such, turn away. Don't even go there. I believe in form, but I believe in the power too. I don't think it's all power, no form. I don't think it's all form and no power. Hallelujah! For this sort of day was creeping the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. There's a lot of silly women in this world. Women have a history of being cunning and crafty, of course. But man's supposed to be the stronger of the two, but I don't know today sometimes. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm glad above all things I know tonight. I know Jesus' name, baptism, and the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. And the oneness of God is right. Right. It's right. It's right. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds upbraid concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, God, Iconium, at Lystra, while persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord deliver me, not Ann Landers or Abby. The Lord deliver me. Not the local horoscope. The Lord delivered me. Not grandma. Grandpa. The Lord delivered me. Oh, God, if some of us would only look to the Lord as much as we do to other people, who could deliver us more? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue down the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Tell them a funny story, tickle their innards, give them a jester of a laugh, and send them home rejoicing. No, Timothy, when you face that congregation of yours, you preach the word. Preach the word! Preach the word! There's a crying need today. We need to preach the word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. When I told you today to sound doctrine, my God, help us to endure sound doctrine. The heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. If I don't like what this preacher preaches, I'll go somewhere else. Let me tell you, if this preacher preaches out of the Word of God, you can go anywhere you want to go. But you're still going to have to face it. You don't rip your problems running from them. One of the first signs of maturity is being able to face your problems and face your weaknesses and ask God to help you overcome them. Shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. I don't want to believe a fable. And Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is not a fable. And the Holy Ghost, one God, is not a fable. Jesus is coming. That's not a fable either. But watch down all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let us stand together. Let's raise our hands and pray for the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've delivered my soul to you tonight for what God has told me to do. Give me three more minutes of your time, and I want to tell you something. This epistle was not written from a carpeted palace, but in a dingy, dark dungeon in Rome. Paul was awaiting certain execution. He said, only Luke is with me. But you know how he finished this letter? He said, for I am now ready to be offered you, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Luke says, how are you boasting? I've heard you preach against boasting.
Maybe Paul reminded him, I don't know. Remember the story of Ahab, Luke? He stormed up against Ahab. Ahab, in one of his finest hours, hurtled the challenge back to him and said, let not him that goeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Luke, the battle's over for me.
No more shoutings in Philippi!
And in jail.
No more letting over the wall of Jerusalem in a basket!
No more being put by snake. No more lonely missionary training. Oh, my Lord, it's the offering. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept it. And I've got a right to brag about it. I'm taking the harness off. I'm not a farm boy, but I used to visit it almost every summer when I was being raised. I can remember several times sitting high up on the old hay wagon, coming in from the field in dusty dark. Those old, tired, big workhorses that had strained and sweated all day long, pulling up that hill. And I was sitting up there just rolling along ever so slowly. But there was something about it when they turned in the lane and headed towards that barn. They picked up a faster pace. And almost at a run, they went to the barn as fast as their tired muscles could pull them. They knew the harness was going to come on. They knew the harness was going to come on.
Let me tell you something! Let's save our boasting until we take the harness off!
Oh, God!
Let's fight the fight! Let's hold the course! Let's keep the faith!
So when we come down to life's dark hour, we can take the harness off with joy and say, I'm ready to go. Can you all say praise the Lord? They tell us they took Paul outside of Rome and at a guillotine. And he saw it. It has been said that he literally ran to it. I don't know. But they chopped his head off.
And as darkness settled on that fabled city,
they went back to the Bacchanalian rites. I can almost see the angels as they gathered. That tortured spirit left that twisted, contorted body of Paul. They winged his soul home to the bosom of God.
Did the darkness fall? His body was flung in a nameless grave.
But methinks that a white robed angel with a gold chisel or a silver hammer.
Oh, you couldn't see the tombstone! I hear the tombstone! I hear the ringing of the hammer!
But he chiseled out some words. If you and I believe, he fought a good fight.
He finished his course!
He kept the faith. I know of no greater epitaph.
I know of no greater obituary that should be shouted on you!
Let not him that could upon his harness boast himself as he will put it on. Let's raise our hands and ask God to help us stay in the battle. Stay in the battle.
Ah!